listening to Down by the Bank, a Jacksonville Jaguars podcast with Corey, Derek, and JK3.
All right, welcome to Down by the Bank, affiliated with the Blue Wire Podcast Network. This is Corey.
Hey guys, what's up? It's Derek.
What's up, y'all? It's JK3.
So we are honored to be joined today by a special guest. That is Nate Collin. He's a former Jaguar NFL player. Awesome follow on Twitter at BigN98. And a colleague, which makes us feel super fancy to say, a colleague in the Blue Wire Podcast Network. So thanks, Nate, for joining the podcast.
Hey, appreciate you guys having me on.
Yeah, no, we are sincerely super, super grateful. So thank you so much. First and foremost, just seeing you on Twitter, tell me a little bit about this eBay thrifting content that I'm seeing on your page. It seems like it's something you're quite into at this point.
Yeah, so I've always been into reselling. I started mostly with sneakers. Like throughout college, I was always a big fan of finding a way to get the new Jordans early and trying to sell them for maybe a $50 to $100 profit just on the sheer fact I have them 2 weeks before everyone. And it's something that I used to do eBay, and it got really complicated with the shipping and I was slowly losing money. And recently eBay, they switched everything and they made like a global shipping program, and they made it a lot easier for you to figure stuff out and not lose money. And it's something that I was just thinking about it today. It's sort of like gambling in a sense of being able to go to a thrift store and take a chance on certain items, and you're either going to 10x your money or you're going to lose on it. And it's a fun thrill.
Yeah.
So, no, I mean, you mentioned about the sneakers. I got to know, and this is right off the top of the head, man, favorite Jordan that you have owned and favorite Jordan that you had to let go, because every sneaker reseller, even Derek is on another level. Derek bought a house with his shoes. So he's on another level. But what is one that you had to let go that you did not want to?
It's actually not a Jordan.
Really?
Yeah, it's the Galaxy Foamposite.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
I was just about to say that, man. I drove 2.5 hours to Orlando, had an old buddy of mine that I used to work with at a shoe establishment. We won't name the name. He was managing it. And literally, I got to the parking lot. He had my number. There was about 1,000 people there. I bought my Foamposites, I think $180, $200, and I sold them that night for $2,500 in the parking lot. I didn't even make it to my car.
Didn't even make it to your car. Like I know. And what size are you?
13.
Yeah. See, I'm a size 14. So the same thing. It's one of those things that when I did get, I got rid of them like with a consignment situation, and let's just say it didn't go well. It didn't go well. And I just regret it. I wore those to my graduation when I graduated UVA. It was a big thing for me, those shoes, but I did regret getting rid of those.
I sold over 30 pairs of, they were all dead stock. I had Space Jams, Cool Grays, Concords, Playoff 12, like whatever you had. The guy at one consignment shop, he was like, you know, what do you have? I'm like, what do you want? He's like, no, for real, what do you have? I'm like, no, I'm being dead serious. What do you want?
What do you want?
Yeah, like, I got it. Like, trust me. And I had 12 and a half too, which, you know, those are super rare to find.
Yep.
But yeah, no, I wish I had time. If I didn't have a young family, I'd be doing what you're doing, probably like Storage Wars type stuff.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And it's wild too, because with the thrifting game, like, you see a lot of people at the Jags games, you know, and they've all got throwback Jags like gear on. And like, if you got the time to go,
that's a big market. Wild. And that's why I like it. I was just saying today, because I do content on the side, like for it, the real deals. That's my YouTube for the thrifting stuff. And it's one of the joys, like when you go to different areas, that's the type of stuff that I look for. Like, what kind of sporting stuff do they have from this area? What kind of vintage things you might pop up and find? Like, I found the LA Rams duffel bag in a thrift store or at a garage sale here last week. And it's like 25, 30, 40 years old, like the bag, and it's in great condition. But like, those are the things that you kind of get excited to find. And you never know. It's something's always worth something to somebody. And that's kind of like the thrill of what you're waiting for. And you might hit strike gold on something.
Yeah. I mean, and like yard sales too, because I, you know, my man cave upstairs, I should probably start recording there instead of having this bar behind me or something like that, trying to replicate your setup. But I mean, you know, there's a couple of posters and things, you know, like some Jimmy Smith things that I've found, some Fred Taylor, you know, things, and even going into like the media guides, like the little small books that they have at thrift stores that you get for like $5, you know, to fill it. It kind of adds a little nostalgia to it. But no, that's cool, man, that you do the thrifting stuff.
Yeah, no, and it just helps out too about like learning about items and learning kind of what some things are valuable and what aren't valuable. Because like I live in a college town, I live in Charlottesville, and you'll be surprised some of the stuff that these kids throw away when it's time to go at the end of the year. Mm-hmm. And whether they know how valuable it is or not, that's kind of like a big part of the business too, is kind of like not like dumpster diving, but more just picking up free stuff and being on Craigslist and being aware that people do give away stuff that is valuable and you can make money off of.
Well, Nate, I don't know if you want to talk offline, but I got some vintage Nintendo Wii stuff that's selling for pretty good right now. So I don't know if you've heard, you've been following that. But,
yeah, we maybe could talk.
Yeah. Okay. Good. Well, aside from the thrifting and some of the fun activities, what, you know, just kind of catch us up to speed, I guess, on what you've got going on lately. I know you're part of Blue Wire, so maybe tell us about what kind of content you have going out there.
Yeah. So I've been co-hosting with I've been co-hosting a Green Light Pod with Chris Long. I'm on the show once a week on Sundays for our football recap and betting and et cetera show. I've been doing that for a few months now, and I got the reselling thing going on. And actually I'm currently in turkey season. I work on a farm seasonally here in the area, and we kill, pluck, and wax and get these free range turkeys ready for Thanksgiving. And
so you're busy.
Yeah. right now, these 2 weeks, I am very busy, but it's something that it's very it's very fun to do. And believe it or not, when Matt told me, one of our producers told me that you guys wanted to have an interview, I was happy when he said it was at 9 p.m. because I was like, man, if it was earlier, I really wasn't going to turn it down. So I was glad that I at least had time to go like relax, get off my feet for a little bit, because it's a job where you're on your feet all day. So I got to get off my feet and now get to talk with you guys.
Cool.
That's cool, awesome, man. We always like when we talk to guests, you know, unique stories, unique situations. But the unique thing about you compared to us being fans is you've been on an NFL roster. So you've been on a team. And one of the things with the Jags, man, that we just cannot wrap our heads around is just why we struggle, why the team struggles. And, you know, obviously we'll get into Coach Meyer in a minute, but I want to talk about just the players in the locker room, like that mentality. Like, how does that form? And then how does it mold, progress or regress through the season? Obviously, we know wins and losses has to do with it, but new coaches. And so tell me about that just environment and just the mentality of players going into training camp and throughout the season.
I mean, it's an optimistic feeling, but it varies between every player. You might have a vet that is in tune with what's going on, and maybe they can inside know, like, this is a rebuilding year. Like, we're not going to do shit. Like, they're trading this guy. They're moving this guy here. Like, they're getting ready for the draft in 2 years. I can see that. I need to get out of here. And then you might have a rookie that's, hey, this is a great opportunity. Like, I can shine here. I can do my thing. Like, it might not be the best situation like team wise, but if I get my stats up, like, I'll be making bank by my second contract and I might end up somewhere else, or by then the team will be good. So it's hard to say what's going on, but you're only as good as your weakest link in the locker room. And just like you said, winning usually cures anything and everything. And when you're not winning, it's hard to know where people's heads are at, because you might have guys that are hoping for a trade. They're on the phone with their agents every day. Hey, can you get me the hell out of here? Is there any way you can get me out of here? This isn't good. Like, I only got 3 years left, 2 years left. Like, I don't want to be stuck here. Or it might be something else. Like, it's really hard to say, though. And at the end of the day, with distractions also, it's probably not that good of a feeling. But at the end of the day, you have to go in and go to work and do your job. So
exactly. You know, and we're going to get to distractions in a minute. JK3 definitely is going to get to distractions with Urban Meyer. But I wanted to follow up on, you talked about the rookies and the opportunities of the young guys and the opportunities. And that's where I think that we have show our best hand. We do have, you know, Marvin Jones, an experienced wide receiver, but we also had, you know, a group of young rookies that, or second year guys that have been, you know, it's been hit or miss with LaVisca, but Jamal Agnew has come out of nowhere, like just and out of nowhere. So
it was the kid Robinson. It sucks to hear that he got hurt. He might twist, like turn his ankle a little bit, but he's definitely a spark on the team. And it was great to see him kind of shine the way he's been running the rock for you guys. But it's unfortunate that he got hurt, and you guys do have spurts of talent, and every bad team is always going to have guys, but I think it's just about putting the puzzle pieces together. Like, every team you have players, but if you can't do the, like, you need more than players, and for whatever reason, the puzzle part, Jacksonville just maybe, like, the top down just hasn't found a way to piece it, to make it work. And I don't know why, because even when I was there, like, I was there, I had Del Rio and then Mel Tucker, and it was just, we had a great, I feel like that years I was there, we had an unbelievable defense, and they fired David Gerard a week before the season starts, like, and play Blaine Gabbert, a rookie that wasn't ready, like, right away. And it's not the same situation that happened with you guys this year, but it's somewhat similar. Like, you get rid of a guy that can maybe teach your rookie for even for a little bit and give him a different perspective and something to look and to fall back on. But I don't know what it is.
Yeah, no, it's tough, and we look at it. It's sometimes, and you talked about Robinson, man. I think all three of us every week, we're like, if James Robinson does not touch the ball 25 times, all right?
Yeah.
We've never played it down, been in a locker room.
Bro, we've never even been on a sideline. Like, I don't know.
Nothing. But we know.
You just
that
know. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, why didn't, and how do you not know this? So anyway, I'm gonna shut up now.
That's some real stuff, man. But like, for like, the thing that frustrates me the most is, like, as fans, you know. And again, you know, we are fans, and fans are, you know, what they are, fanatical. But eventually, man, you know, when there's some situations where we're just, you know, looking at it and just thinking, why would you not run him on fourth and one, you know? You've got a running back that can really just get you that 1 yard. He doesn't take any negative plays.
So, I think these coaches are listening to these computers too much. That's my only explanation. Mm-hmm. When I see this crazy stuff happen, I literally think that the coaches are using analysts or whatever they have, whatever these coaches have, whatever programs that's giving them percentage of what you should maybe do here. I think they're looking into that too much, or they're picking and choosing when they want to do that, so they can maybe do it and be like, well, the damn app said to do this and it didn't work. it didn't work.
But I mean, in your position, you play defensive line, and your interior defensive line. And so this probably wouldn't have happened to you, but like, there was a couple plays where, and a couple defensive schemes. And again, as us being fans, just calling it how we see it, Josh Allen, who is our rush in, we saw him drop in coverage. And coverage not like to the point where he got to go to the flats. You know, you get the running back that's, you know, going out to the side. And on this protection, you may have to go get him out there or something like that. But it was to the point where homie was dropping back and covering like 5 yard and 10 yard outs. And that's not his skill set. And of course, that's a matchup that they're going to win every time. And so we're sitting here looking at the stuff and we're just like, yo, there's no way that he should be even in this position. And it happened multiple times. But one of the things that I wanted to talk to you about, too, because you were on, you know, not necessarily the best teams in Jaguars histories, you know, with, you know, playing with Garrard and then you say playing with Gabbert, you know, you lose X amount of games and you start thinking and you talked a little bit about, you know, getting the agents and things like that. At what point, you know, in the season or what point do you just like, you know, I'm looking at going to Cabo. Like, you know, it's time to wrap this thing up and maybe we can try next year.
So for me, when I was on the Jags, it was my second year in the league. So I was one of those guys that I was just trying to make sure that I controlled what I could control. And that was going in to work every day, playing hard in practice, being the guy in practice that everyone hates, like being the guy that's going extra hard. So all the coaches, like, they know, hey, we're losing, but this guy's going hard no matter what. Like, we can tell that some of these vets, they like, hey, they're worried about not getting hurt. They're worried about, like you said, Cabo, where they're going with their family for family vacation. We're going, taking the kids to Disney World. Do we have the reservations ready? Like, guys are on the plane. Like, once week, well, like, before the new games, it was like by week, what, like 9 or 8, you could kind of know if you're going to make the playoffs or not. But it was always that first eligible week. Like we kind of knew that, hey, we weren't going to the postseason. So things definitely change, and it's a gut punch, but you have to realize at the end of the day, it's our jobs. So you have to get up and just know, like, and even though your team is terrible, you don't want to not play. You don't want to not put good film out there. Right. That's the worst thing you could do, because at the end of the day, even though you're on a bad team, hey, whoever's going to end up in the Super Bowl, they might be making a trade between this week to this week, and you might luck up and end up on a Super Bowl team, or you might have someone, a coach maybe looking at you and they see that, hey, like after you guys knew you weren't going to make the playoffs, like we can kind of tell you're not playing well, like, and we don't want to take a chance on someone who's going to be flip-flop like that. So,
right.
You got to always put
Von Miller. He said he went to sleep 4-4 and woke up 7-1.
That, hey, that's crazy. that whole story is, did you hear the backstory about that? Like about all that supposedly?
No.
that may or may not be over like a concert tab. That supposedly that Von Miller, like, he hosts an event and he got Quavo to perform, and he was under the impression that guys were going to pitch in with him to pay for it.
Yeah.
And they didn't. And he was like, and supposedly he was causing a ruckus, and they traded him for it.
Hey, don't mess with that money.
Yeah.
Hey, that's interesting. Don't mess with it. But hey, so to talk a little bit too, and so we'll transition to the Urban Meyer stuff. And so everything happened with Urban, and you know, I've got just one dying question I have to ask you, because again, you've played way more football than any of us combined. When in your career as a coach ever gotten on the plane back with the team? Ever. I just gotta know, because some people that I associate myself with, they don't think it's weird, and I'm like, yo,
that's a good question. That's a really football. Listen, that's a really, really good question, and the answer is never. Like,
that's what I'm saying.
You're absolutely right. If you know anything about team sports, the head coach, unless maybe a death in the family or something, like maybe their wife or kid is in a hospital and they just have
extreme circumstance.
Yeah. Like, because at the end of the day, even if it's extreme, most likely we're all going to the same place. Like, like because our families all live in whatever city like that we're playing at or we're traveling back to. So that was a weird thing to hear that, hey, like, he didn't get on the plane back. Like, this all happened in Ohio. This didn't happen in Jacksonville. This happened in Ohio. That is a strange thing for sure.
So I'm not crazy for saying
No, you're not.
I'm telling you, some of the people I associate myself with, I'm like, look, man, I'm telling you right now, when I was in middle school, if we all got on the bus together, we were all coming back together.
I think Urban is lucky that there's a lot of BS going on other places in the league that whole thing wasn't as serious, or not that it wasn't as serious, that it still wasn't lingering because the spotlight was on him. They had new little TMZ stories every day. Like, they had like a little rollout for him, and fortunately for him, like, a lot of other stuff started happening where it's kind of quiet down. But at the end of the day, back to coaching, it's not cutting it.
Everyone sees the sideline stuff. Everyone sees, you know, the outward expression of, you know, his feelings and, you know, hands on his knees, completely bent over. I mean, I understand, like, if something happens in the game and, you know, if it's just a blow to your team, you know, like a holding call on a touchdown or something like that. But it seems like, you know, for a while, we watched some of the coaching language on the side. You know, what can you decipher from that coaching language?
So for me personally, I'm a guy that I don't think players pay attention to that so much. I think that's more of a fan and kind of like theatrics of like coaching. It just like it's based on your personality.
Right.
Bill Belichick, like, stone cold face, like, you know what I mean? He doesn't mm-hmm. show like personal feelings. I guess guys would get a rise out of it if Bill Belichick ever like just did something crazy, threw a headset.
Yeah.
And it might happen, but everyone's different. And I just think Urban Meyer's that guy. Like, I think I don't think he's any different than he was when he was coaching in college. He's an animated guy. It's kind of about him. It's about his team, but I think he's a coach where, hey, I'm running the ship. Like, I'm putting the pieces together, and I think right now it's not working out for him, and it's showing that it's tough.
It's tough because he handpicked everybody too.
Yeah.
No. So most of the stuff he handpicked. So, and that's what makes it even worse.
That is even worse. Like, and he's not helping Trevor Lawrence out too much. I don't think. And like I was saying before, being a rookie, like, on a bad team is hard enough as it is. And just being able to make sure you're improving and you're grooming him like the right way, I don't think it's an ideal, obviously, situation for Trevor with everything that's going on. But like, as a player, I know that he's trying, as like, he's doing the best, like, and he wants to be great and he wants to be good and he wants to do the right thing. But sometimes it takes the coaches to be able to navigate that. And I don't think that that's personally happening right now.
I mean, and especially with free agency right now. I mean, they had the chance to go in and really go get, you know, I mean, most of the times, and I'm a big component of draft cap. I understand draft capital. But to me, if I've got a superstar, bona fide, proven player that I can go out there and get for 2 fives, maybe a 5 and a 6, hell, like a 4, I'm taking a chance on a proven commodity on someone versus saving this. I feel like draft capital, if it's like first, second, third, but like 4, 5, and 6, man, I feel that's like Monopoly money to me. Because if I'm trading that for someone who's proven and for someone's out there, or you even got the chance right now to go out there and get and call Deshaun. I mean, call Deshaun Jackson. Call somebody. I mean, shit, call Tyrone. Somebody.
Okay, question for you guys. If Odell gets released by the Browns, would you guys want him in Jacksonville?
I'd take him
in a heartbeat.
I'd take him in two seconds.
Odell can come here and be the man.
Yeah. Like, look, you guaranteed to get the ball 10 targets a game. Easy.
Yep. All you got to sell to him and tell him it's a 30-minute flight to Miami. Like, hey, you could be out of here right after the game. Yeah. If you want to get to Miami, you want to go to Atlanta, anywhere, you're right there, bro. Yeah. Super quick.
Whatever you got to do, whatever you got to do on your off day, man, you know back by Wednesday.
And you know he's cold as fuck in Cleveland right now. It's getting cold up here.
Right. He's cold and he's at home right now, not going to practice. He can't even come to practice. They don't even let him in the building. His code is, it's like on a Hard Knocks when Jamal Adams was trying to come in and his code was messed up. Like, bro, you can't even come in.
You guys laugh at that, but that's devastating. That's like PTSD devastation. like the feeling that when you're on the fringe, because I was a fringe player guy, undrafted free agent, like having that feeling that I can walk in at any day and my key code may or may not work is very, very devastating. And I feel like I have PTSD with you laughing like that, the way you said it.
Dang, that's messed up. That's how you're going to treat a guest?
Oh my goodness. No.
Hey, I feel bad for them turkeys tomorrow.
No, that's so funny.
Yeah, well, Nate, I mean, obviously, we can't say too many positives about this season, you know, being 1-6 and all. But if you were to sort of break it out, you know, strengths wise, weaknesses wise, as far as strengths go, what are some of the things that you think we have going for us to look forward to going in the future? And then weaknesses wise, what specifically? And
you guys might not like this, but you guys still have the best mascot in the league.
Okay. All right. That's good.
Jackson DeVille is not spoken about enough. He does life-threatening stunts. I always ask, what type of insurance does he have that the other mascots in the league have? Have you ever seen a mascot zip line from like the top of a stadium? He does that a couple times a year now, right?
Yeah.
He does it every game.
He'll do it Sunday. Yeah.
I don't think anyone, like, now when you watch it, you realize how dangerous that is. And that's like a regular person. And I don't know how much he's being paid, but I'm sure he probably has a family that is just like, hey. But honestly, no strengths.
He's not living at the Strand. I know that for sure. So
yeah. we're not very optimistic with you leading with the mascot.
Your tight end Dan Arnold. He's been really good. I think Lawrence is still valuable, but he has to be more consistent. Those guys have good chemistry, and if Robinson isn't too hurt, obviously everything can follow a run game. If you have a run game, it cures a lot of things. It'll open up a lot of things. It'll help the play action, help Trevor out. But I think Trevor has to focus on getting some of these throws on time. He's making great throws, but everyone can tell that some of them are a little late. And it's just like, hey, if he got that gone maybe a second faster, that would have been a great play. And that's the growing pains, I guess, as a rookie, and it never helps, like, when the team isn't doing as well as, like, everyone wants to. But, hey, like, he's going to be there for a while unless something drastic happens. He's going to have to soak it, like, suck it up and figure it out.
Yeah. Well, what about the weaknesses side? I mean, I know it's easy to you know, kind of beat them down a little bit being 1-6, but are there any things that are sort of glaring that you can just see right off the bat and watching the games that are just major holes that we've got to fix going into the offseason?
The secondary have made some quarterbacks look legendary. Some really, really very basic quarterbacks look very, very good. That, I'm not going to lie, Geno Smith looked like a very good quarterback against you guys. Nothing against him.
Yeah. No, everything no. against him. It's Geno Smith. everything against him. It's Geno Smith, Tyrod Taylor. I mean,
Geno Smith had a Randall Cunningham type game against you guys.
I mean, it was insane. I hate it whenever I'm watching a Jags game and the other team sets a record. It's like, and with that completion, Geno Smith is now 14 consecutive completions, leading the NFL in consecutive completions. It's like, of course it's against us.
JK3, I think that's when we left to go trick-or-treat is once it got to that.
Yeah, as soon as I heard that stat, I went out, I put on my Braves jersey, I went to go hand out some candy.
And you know what the crazy part is when you look at like the secondary too, and just the defense as a whole in general, is we're sitting here, we said it before, we're fans. JK3 and I start predicting formations and plays that we think that, you know, on the side that we think teams will run and be successful. I think our latest one with the game coming up, we told a Bills podcast recently, hey, look, your tight end, if he does, like if he goes in motions and like stems and then runs like a deep drag, goes 20 yards, man, they'll be so confused just on the motion in general that they're gonna get that. And
it's not like, even a drag, bro. It's not even a drag. It's more like a deep, like find your way through traffic, but just head to the sideline, to the sticks, but like make it like a right angle at the sticks, and we're gonna hit them for like 20.
Yeah. And the guy was like, are you serious? I was like, guarantee it's gonna happen. Guaranteed.
How do you guys feel about after a bye week, too many men on the field? Like, how do you guys feel about that? Like
that to me is Herb said something a few weeks ago about he isn't sure about the substitution packages and the plays. Yeah, exactly. He doesn't know. That's not his decision. I'm like, what do you mean that's not your decision? You are the coach.
They probably talk head coach. They probably talk about that stuff on the plane rides back.
Oh man. But it is amazing how we still turn on the television or go to the game every day at 1 o'clock, 4 o'clock. And you notice there's no 8:20 or Monday night in that because we're never on Sunday night or Monday night, but that we still get amped up hoping that this team wins because, you know, 14 point dog. Buffalo is a lunch pail team.
So let me ask you this.
I just don't see it.
So let me ask you this. One of our producers in for Greenlight, Taylor, he is a huge Jacksonville Jaguars fan. So how do you guys feel better about the team when you're thinking positively or if you guys are? Like how do you guys cope with being like diehard Jags fans?
How do we cope with it?
Alcoholism.
I mean, yeah. You got the maker's mark ready. You got the maker's ready to go. You see,
substance abuse.
I mean, the hardest part about it, man, and I will say this as like as a Jags fan, we can talk smack about the Jags, but when everyone else does it, then it's like
it hurts.
Nah, you're not gonna do
it. Yeah.
Like it's any given Sunday and all this other stuff. And what's tragic for us is that I think it's just the incompetence is what kills me. The incompetence of some of the coaching. And like you said, like the too many men on the field coming after a bye. Like, I mean, that's just coaching. That really is just that, coaching things.
Yeah,
I mean, just coming through and seeing some of the, you know, just some of the plays that they call in, you know, dire need to where they can take points. In my opinion, in the Bengals game, you know, the thing is about momentum. Like you got a chance to hang up, you know, 17 on these guys at half and you go in, you know, 10-0. 10-0 is only two scores. 17-0 is three scores. You know what I mean? So you got to look at it like a mental chess match. If you've given these guys everything you can in the first half and you leave it only 10 points, and then that leads to Joe Burrow coming out saying, yo, let's go in gun and let's get them. Let's torch them. And that when you leave that doubt and that hope into another team, like you can't do that. And so I think the coaching from the incompetent side, but then I think another thing too, man, is that, you know, we drink the Kool-Aid in the off season so much. And I realized that it's because we got mediocre going on mediocre. And I mean that by like, we don't have any dogs on the opposite side of the ball right now to make it anything challenging. So when we see Marvin Jones making a one-handed catch over Tyson Campbell, we're like, oh yeah, let's go. You know, we're gonna be ready for the season. But then when it comes and you know, you got Stephon Gilmore or something like that on the other side, you're like, you're not gonna one hand him.
But is it every fan base like that? Like, doesn't I feel like every fan base during camp, like you drink the Kool-Aid, you go watch open practices, you get so excited because like you're seeing a scrimmage, but what you don't realize is like players, they go against each other, same guys every day. I mean, camp is a little more intense, like when you have rookies out there and things like that, but you don't feel like every fan base is kind of the same way that you feel?
I'll tell you this, so that 2017 season, and we say that we're not supposed to reference it or anything else like that, but that 2017 season, when the defense was actually fighting the offense during practice, I was like, yo, something's going on here and I like it. And Jalen wasn't letting anything get completed and was getting absolutely pissed because they were getting something completed. He is practicing to be legendary. He's not practicing just to practice. You know, and then we had Calais Campbell on the defensive line getting everybody hyped up. Fournette was barking and running full speed when they're only saying half speed. You know what I mean? He got kicked out for fighting one time. And then you got the Robin, or you had who's the receiver? Marquise Lee at that time was, you know, out there jawing, doing his thing too. Keelan Cole. So it was like, it was a hostile environment, and it was more of, I felt like it was more of an iron sharpened iron environment. Like, you know, like fighting your brother or like your close cousin or something like that. You know, you're not going to fight him for real in the street, but, you know, at home, when mom's not here, you're going to give him a little jab. You're going to give him an elbow. You might throw him through a wall. You know what I mean? So, but it's not like outside of the house, it's you and him versus everybody, or, you know what I mean? And that's what I felt. And I think with here, what we got right now, we got, you know, James Robinson, who doesn't say anything, but will run you over and, you know, and won't even look twice about it. I think Trevor's got his head in the right place. But as far as the defensive line goes, you got Josh Allen, who's there. They got a young kid, Shaq Quarterman. And the only other person I see showing any aggression is Miles Jack. And like, he literally looks like after every play he gets held or something, he's just so emotional, which, you know, I like. It shows that he cares. But everything else, man, it's just like you got guys showing up to get a paycheck.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
That was a nice answer.
Yeah.
That was a nice answer.
So, look, million-dollar question. So is that a coaching problem? And do you think Urban will be there next year?
That's a coaching problem. It's a coaching problem. I'm going to go ahead and say it. Herb said last week about the Seattle game, I thought we had a good week of practice. I thought we would come out here and play well. Look, man, outside of Robinson and Trevor Lawrence, you got – and sorry, Corey, you know, you're going to have to bleep me on this one. You got shit versus shit, okay? If you practice shit versus shit in practice, do you think the result on the field is going to be productive? No, it's going to be shit. And so that starts from the top down.
So you obviously don't think Urban is being held accountable or holding himself accountable? No. I
think this year he's getting a pass. I think he's getting like the Jimmy Johnson. He was with the Cowboys 1-15 pass type. But well, Jimmy went 1-15 and then he went 8-8 the next year. So, Jimmy's been at practice and Jimmy's my mentor. So, you know, I'm ready to go. That's what he's getting right now, is he's getting a 1-year pass and there's a good chance we'll probably go 1-15.
Urban Meyer is not Jimmy Johnson though.
Yeah. We know this. We know, but that's, you know, that's the mentality, because Jimmy Johnson has been out to practice. He has been in Jacksonville. He's been spotted because Campo lives here. Dave Campo's still here. So he's here a lot. And during training camp, he was here. So I don't know. I'm taking a guess, but I think I'm pretty close, to be honest with you.
You think his fame like will keep him around? You think it's more like the outside of football stuff that might keep him alive? And do you
the
think
outside
like
of
that,
football stuff almost got him out of here?
That is very true. But it did. Like I feel like some of these things that we think is gonna get guys out of here, it doesn't happen for the coaches. Like, we all know it's a double standard. Some of these things, if they happen with players, is get them out of here quick. But coaches, they find some way to make it not as bad. And with a team not doing well, that's why I always think that a lot of things in life is about who you know and how you treat people. Because you would think that the situation that Urban went through and all some of the stuff that's going on with a one win record, that maybe they would already been looking for another coach.
I think he's fortunately in a situation with an owner in Shad Khan, who's been very patient with mm-hmm. every coach that we've had. I don't know. That's how I look at it. And I don't think Shad Khan, I mean, he was all, if you guys remember, Derek, JK3, what was it that he said in the introductory press conference for Urban Meyer? I got it right this time. Do you remember that? He can't go back on that after like seven games. You know what I mean? Like, he's kind of like got to go in for it for the long haul now and let it work out. So,
but I think one of the big things too is that, you know, Urban has a brand of football that he wants to, you know, try to put on the field, on a product that he wants to try to put on the field. And, you know, those things do happen with ETN, and, you know, players do get hurt. And I don't think that he accounted for the fact that, you know, you got a stud like ETN that gets hurt, and you can't just replace him with another five star that was waiting for time. You know what I mean? You don't have somebody on the back end that's just as fast. But to that caveat, if his brand of football is wanting to build speed and everything, I would feel so much better knowing. And maybe this is something that's happening behind closed doors, because we only see, you know, with what gets leaked and things like that. But, you know, I would much rather, you know, read it that, you know, we went after Deshaun, or we went after, or we're interested or rumored to, you know, Odell or anything else like that, versus being radio silent on the trade deadline. You know, you got some personnel issues at receiver that you can really try to address, you know, with a couple of guys that you could probably bring in and start building this nucleus and try to build onto next season when you do have to have want to try to build it up for free agency. But now, since they didn't really do anything, and I don't know how it's going to shake out with Odell or Deshaun or any other receiver, but now they've got to go hard in free agency. Like, it's got to be a bidding war, and you can't lose that bidding war right now against Davante Adams or any of these other high priced free agents that'll come out. Like, if you want your brand of football, you got to go get your guy.
And you guys have a lot of cap room. So, like,
the most.
Yeah. So, I'm just like you're saying, I'm very interested to see what they're going to do and if they pick up any marquee free agents, and if any marquee free agents want to go down there and play for Urban Meyer's, because that's going to be the bigger thing. Like, some of these superstar guys will be like, I'm not even taking a flight to Jacksonville. Like, they're like, I'm not even going down. I'm not even going to give them a chance to convince me to do the rollout, to have me second guessing, because I don't want to go there. So I feel like that's a bigger issue, because guys hear about word travels and guys hear about what's really going on in locker rooms and how people are. And maybe that's something that, like, I feel like Urban maybe has for himself, and maybe with these players one-on-one, that guys really like him behind like closed doors, and regardless of what everyone's saying, they feel differently about him. Because I don't know. I feel like guys are like playing for them, but at the same time, you got to be a professional. And I guess that he has that under his belt too, that guys, you have to go to work. You have to go to work and produce, and you only hurt yourself if you go out there and you put bad film, because everyone gets that film at some point. It never leaves, and that's all you have to go on in the NFL is what you put on tape and how you're producing. So
the eye in the sky don't lie
always.
well, on tape it looked like Buffalo about to serve us up something serious on Sunday.
All right, man, you got to be like, come on now. You got to leave with something. They're only a 14-point dog.
I have
14-point dog.
I have Buffalo's defense for my fantasy, so I think I'm gonna have a great week.
Oh man!
But I'm not gonna lie. I could see myself putting Jacksonville in a parlay. That +700 is very tempting. Very, 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 very tempting. Because I'm a huge parlay guy. So,
well, Derek, wrap it up with that Bills question, then we'll go into into the bet, because I got a parlay for you that I want to run it by you.
Would you do that if James Robinson played, if he was healthy, with that 14 points?
Yes.
Dang, cold. It's cold.
But without him, like, if Urban is going to try to make the quarterback throw more than like 40 times, which he obviously is going to do, I just don't think that's going to end well against Buffalo's defense.
No, it's not. Like I said, we've discussed this. We're like 25 times less than 30 throws for Trevor Lawrence. And then you know, get Carlos Hyde his 10. That's another thing too, that the subbing in and out of and some of the play selection, and then the fact that, you know, Bevel's responsible for the Seattle debacle in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, but seriously, do you think they're using analytics? Like, do you think they're using like one of those programs type like coaching deals?
They got a department of analytics here, so you know for sure they're using it.
So do you think a lot of these things that we maybe are seeing crazy happen is what's popping up?
So let's talk about really quick before we get to the gambling, the Tennessee play where they stopped him on 4th-and-1.
Yeah.
So Carlos Hyde's in the game. On that right side, we have our worst offensive lineman in Taylor and a backup at right guard. And so it's 4th-and-1. He's trying to at least score, you know, trying to score. And that's the first thing. So we start. That's the analytical part right there. That's what the analytics came up with. Then Tennessee knew the play was coming because they shifted to that right side. Go back and watch the tape. They shifted. And I'm literally looking. I'm like, oh, crap, here it comes. And the defensive lineman just blew the play up. The D-tackle blew it up before it even began. And Hyde, I think the ball was at the 1. What, JK3, did he even make it to the 3?
No.
Carlos Hyde, yeah. He didn't even make it to the 3. And I'm like, wait a minute now. We talked about, you know, running to the left, different place. Heck, even the old Peyton Manning trick. If you see that, hey, Trevor, just keep the ball and run the other way.
But that's the difference between a bad coach and a good coach. Vrabel is a good coach, and he had his guys ready. And they obviously practice that. That's something you go through and practice. Hey, these are all the 4th-and-1s or 3rd-and-1s that this team likes to run. And if you see this, if you see the motion, we're going to shift last minute. And this is where they want to run. They run it here. They do this. And obviously, like, you can tell when something like that happens that a team is coached up and they knew what was coming here. Your coach did whatever percentages or watched whatever tape that he needs to know, or he has a beat on, hey, this coach, he likes to run this play with this type of player on this down, this distance, this area of the field. And when you see something like that happens, it's evident that they're being coached up the right way.
So let's go ahead and get into this, you know, get into these. You know, I was looking at a couple things right now, so I was checking my parlays and checking how it was going. So you said you are a parlay guy, so I put together one real quick that I'll drop a dub on, you know, depending on where we go with it. So the first one, and I like to get all over the place, you know, so it's not all NFL.
Okay.
So I like that. I'll do some money lines. Like, I'll do some like over unders.
Okay.
I'll do just, you know, I'll just take it, you know, everything. So I think so the first one I got right now, Bulls over the 76ers.
Okay.
I was watching that, and I picked these strategically. So I, you know, there's a little bit of method. So Corey's a 76ers fan. You know, I, you know, casual Bulls fan. 76ers won last like 2 nights ago, Corey, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Are you a real, do you know for sure, or are you just saying
that? Yeah, yeah, no. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I started in the Sam Hinkie era.
So you pick against your friends. You pick against them.
Yeah, I like to do that. Yeah. So I'm taking the Bulls money line at home against the 76ers. Then with the UFC, I got this one. I think is a lock.
Oh, UFC.
Usman. I mean, I don't think anybody's gonna beat. No one's gonna beat that dude.
Oh, you're being risky, man.
No one's gonna beat him.
You say that like all it takes is one punch in UFC or an elbow.
Not getting caught.
Usman, so like, how, is not. I don't even. Caught. How do you even bet UFC? Like, you just have to bet. Like, it's like money line. Bet the winner.
Yeah, winner.
Win, lose, or draw. Right.
So you can do like so. It's not like boxing where you can you can still go TKO, you can go knockout, you can go submission, you can go first, second. I think it's a championship fight, so five rounds. And then you can even go down to the I think you can go down to like the minute, but I just do that's too many variables for me. I just pick winner. You know what I mean? I got Usman going there. So NFL, Titan and the Rams. I got some cousins and some family members who are like just in my ear every day about the Rams because originally my family's from St. Louis and the Rams moved out to L.A. So they stuck with them.
Okay.
So Titans at Rams -7.5. What do you got here? Let me check the over under really quick. Over under, if you want to go that way too, over under is 53.5.
I'm taking the Rams.
Just the Rams money line?
Yeah, I'm a money line guy. I'm a straight up. I don't like to rely on points, man.
Yeah.
I think that's every time I see points and you look at money line, I think that's when Vegas wins. I think Vegas wins no matter what.
Right.
But
the house always wins.
Yeah. That's why I just like the money line so I don't have to think so much. And I hate the thought of like picking a team to win, but if they don't win by enough, it's not a win for you. So, yeah, that's just not. I like money line, but I respect like people. If you want to play the line and you're into that, then so by all means,
I'm a money line and points person. So I usually hit on my over unders, especially with Florida. So I got a Florida bet right now with South Carolina. And I think the over under is like 42, and I'm like, there's no way. I mean, Florida's not gonna run it up. And South Carolina is not going to score. So I could see that game probably ending around, 35 or maybe like 28, something like that. 28-0 Florida, maybe 28-7, something like that. But it depends because Florida then can get hot with that quarterback. They have Anthony Richardson and, he runs like and the way that he's been averaging, like every fifth or sixth carry he has is like a touchdown. So if they get him rolling, it could be. But that's now we're going way deep. We're going way off topic. The last one that I have, Buffalo at Jacksonville, -14.5.
Wait. You're talking about that Florida game. The over is 53, though.
53? I thought it was 42. 53?
53.
No, then I'm staying under that. I'm still staying under that. Yeah, I'm still going to stay under that. And then so with the Buffalo and the Jags. So I like doing money line against my Jags because I agree with you. And this is where it's probably screwed me a lot on my parlays, but I just can't not. I mean, if I hit one, it's going to take that multiplier through the roof. And so what's it like on Sunday? I think it's -14.5. And I think, -14.5 Buffalo. So I don't know.
If I pick against them,
they're going to win. They're going to win. If I pick against the Jags, they're going to win.
And you're gonna be sick.
Yeah. But
it sounds like you want to emotionally hedge. And at the end of the day, if you want to do that, by all means, do that. But like you said, you are gonna be in way worse shape mentally if you pick the Bills and Jacksonville goes out there and does their thing.
But I might pull the Jacksonville thing.
Oh no! Without the rope.
Yeah. Just may do it, man. Strap me up next week. I'm going.
By the way, have you guys been in the pool yet?
I have.
No.
I don't know if I want to go in it.
I don't know if I want to go in it.
It's a pool. You guys, the only one. Wait, has any other of these new stadiums put a pool in? You guys are still the only ones with a pool.
We have we have a dog park too. No, seriously, we do.
I'm switching my seats next year because the dog park is near my seats, and I always am distracted because I look over and I just see these dogs is always
smells too.
So a lot of people bring dogs to the games now because of that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah.
No. I mean, it's the fan experience, man. You know, why not? You know, you got some people that bring their dogs out to eat with them. So why not bring it to the
dogs? Dogs going crazy.
We
got hot dogs and hamburgers and dogs going nuts.
No, we joke about the pool like a lot here. Like just what's going on during the game. I think there was a video of a guy in there with his jeans on, like full outfit, just watching, just chilling.
Typical. I mean, and then like the food, like I had tickets one time to it. And, you know, it's like all inclusive. They say all inclusive food and everything. You're like, all right, let me go up here and check it out. It's like teal hot dog buns and like and teal hot dogs.
They're like stale.
I don't want to eat this. I don't know.
Like
what
the color,
expecting.
Like the color teal.
Yeah. Like the color teal. Like, you know, the hamburger was all right. You know, I'm a popcorn guy. So the popcorn was good, but. And then the spirits, I think they were given all you can drink beer, which, okay. But, and I think it was like well whiskey, and I wasn't dealing with well whiskey and
this trying to go pool to work seats? The next day. You had pool seats? Really?
For a preseason game. Like, okay. I think it was it was 2019, the year before COVID.
Okay.
Yeah,
Nate, usually they're like corporate things because how much is it, JK3? Isn't it like thousands of dollars?
Yeah. Hey, man, you know, you never know. I was probably rubbing elbows with the right person at the gas station and they're like, yo, you're trying to go to the game?
That's usually how it works.
Yeah. I wouldn't pay for them in general, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's a bummer that gets made fun of by everybody. I thought that was a cool feature that we had. That's a disappointment.
No, I mean, I think it's cool. I think it's great. I'm a marketing guy, and I think it's great for marketing. And it's hot as shit in Jacksonville. So when you guys start getting good, like all the celebrities and the big time people that come to the game, they'll find a way to make that really pop in. I'm sure that pool will be all over ESPN. I could see Scott Van Pelt saying, now look who's in the pool. look at the Jacksonville Jaguars.
It's like Vegas though. Vegas, they got the nightclub in there now. I mean, hasn't worked out for them. So
we actually, as a podcast, we took a little trip out to Vegas, last weekend, and we got to see Allegiant, and it is top notch. Yeah.
Have you been to SoFi yet?
I haven't. Okay. I haven't.
Yeah, I heard SoFi was crazy too. But Allegiant, it's like, and I think I saw something too where they had like Allegiant where they've got like the game playing on the outside by the freeway, and it's like, yeah, that's the last thing you need to be on a freeway is to look over
that,
and
that's try to cool, check the score of the game. That was pretty cool.
And we're in an 18-wheeler.
That is cool. But if you're in traffic, that's lit. That's lit.
That is pretty cool.
It definitely would calm your nerves a little bit in traffic.
Well, to that's be able one to thing. Watch it. Coming up in Jacksonville, we have the second oldest stadium behind the or ahead of the Buffalo Bills. So I know that that's been a discussion whether or not we renovate the stadium or just build a new one. And part of that, you're talking about how hot it is potentially trying to put a roof on it or some kind of retractable roof or something, which I would think would help with recruiting new players too, just because I'm sure it's brutal out here. But
it's supposed to be a home field advantage, but it's not. We just hot and losing.
Yeah, and the fans are dying. We're dying out there.
When I got picked up from New York to come down to Jacksonville, the practice squad in New York, I think I got down to Jacksonville like close to Christmas time, and I went from it being cold to, oh my goodness, it's still hot at this time of year down here. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I remember telling my mom, I'm like, Ma, it does not feel like Christmas is in a couple of days. And she's like, why? I'm like, it's 90 here. Like, I'm waking up. I was like, I've never lived in, like, Virginia was the closest. Like, I mean, it's the South, but it gets cold here. It gets normal cold. Like, it's seasonal. So when I got to Florida, it was just like, it's really hot like this, like, all year round.
Yeah.
And then you get, and then a lot of rain.
I got some neighbors that just moved here from Kansas City. I got some neighbors that just moved here from Kansas City. And
probably a shock for them.
Bro, they were coming outside. I think it was like in August. They were like, man, it's hot. And I'm like, wait till September. And then the neighbor, he's an ER nurse, and he worked the game. And I was like, how many zombies did you see today? He's like, I don't know how y'all do it. I have no idea.
I have no idea either. Like, I don't know how people are able to enjoy drinking like when it's that hot, and a lot of people do it. More power to them. And
man, who'd want to do that?
Obviously, people. We love fans. Like, players love fans in the stands and everything. But I don't know how some fans get through. Like, fans that are drinking hard liquor at games, like, respect to you, because I don't know how you do it in some of the hotter states.
Yeah, well,
we got a lot of them down here.
Yeah. Well, JK3 is one of them for one thing. But,
hey, man. Hey, yeah. this is we've got a nice guest, Nate, on the line right now. You know, don't talk about my activities on a Sunday.
Sorry about that. But that, I mean, that's, and we'll wrap it up. But I mean, you know, think about it, Nate, with how brutal the Heat is. And then you got a 1-6 team coming out there. I mean, it's tough for the fans. You brought that up earlier, you know, how you handle it and everything. And I got to admit, and I think they would too, it kind of sucks to go down there and get burned to death to watch them get destroyed. So it's a bummer. But, you know, I think our hope is with a franchise quarterback now, can't speak to Urban Meyer yet, but at least that's the one piece of the puzzle that gives us some optimism going forward.
Well, you just got to think about it like this. It's only up from here. And
I don't know. No, go ahead. Do it.
I'm just saying. It's only there's some hope. I hope the best for you guys. You know, who knows what happens. Hopefully, whatever you guys want to happen. I don't know if you guys want a new coach, but you have to remember it. The grass isn't always greener on the other side, guys. It's not always greener, and that. As bad as that may put like a picture in your head and you guys are sitting there like, no, there's no way it could get worse than it is now. I would hate for that to come true for you guys, but hopefully things can turn around and the fans, obviously we like worry about the fans. Like you guys can at least have something to be. You don't feel like you're getting ripped off or you want your money back. I feel like that's the worst. Like as a player, like you never want people to feel like, hey, like I'm using my hard earned money that I really don't have to like come out and try to bring my kids to the games and support. And it's just, it's not there. I can't even talk to my son about the game or teach him anything. You guys aren't playing well. I definitely understand that from that perspective, but I just hope that it gets better. But I think there's hope, though.
Okay. Well, awesome. Well, we appreciate it, Nate. This is really fun, wide ranging. We are super, just completely psyched that you took the time to do this with us. We really appreciate it.
I appreciate you guys having me and everyone listening. Please listen to the Green Light Pod with Chris Long. We're on Apple, Spotify, and all the platforms. And if you guys want to follow me, I'm on Twitter at BigN98. That's where I'm most active at for social media. And just shoot me a tweet and we can chop it up.
All right. Well, awesome. Well, we'll put all that in the podcast description so people can find you. Nice. And I'll have to grab the link to the YouTube channel too. What was it? Okay. The Real Deals?
Yeah.
Put that in there too. Yeah. Okay, that might be a fan favorite. But nice. We appreciate it. And thanks, Nate, for coming on. And we'll talk to all you guys next time.
All right. Perfect. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it, guys.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.